Hello, hello, welcome, and welcome back to another episode of the Blazers for Goalposts podcast. Today's episode is a special one. We are delighted to be able to welcome a fantastic guest to the show. But before Joe properly introduces him, I'll be kicking today's little intros off by being the first to name their favourite song by the group Blue. My favourite Blue song is Fly By 2. Firstly, it's a banger, and they sample Notorious B.I.G. at the beginning, which is quite a cool and smooth intro. But also there's a lyric in there that's been speaking to me quite a lot recently. And that's, system up with the top down, got the city on lockdown. That all used to sound like a very innocent good time, but now that I find myself reading between the lines, the system up with the top down is our current world governments being exposed, perhaps. And I think we can all relate to cities on lockdown these days. So I reckon whoever wrote that might just have been trying to send us a message. Joe, have you discovered any conspiracy theories in your favorite Blue song?
Well, Kai, I don't know if I've discovered any conspiracy theories, but there is definitely a lot to love about Blue's song, You Make Me Wanna. I mean, it's a catchy tune, and I'd personally argue Blue's best ever music video. I would have loved to have been partying with everybody on that boat. Looked like a lot of fun. Anyway, I should probably introduce our very special guest. Daniel Mays was sadly unavailable to participate today, but I'm happy that we've got the next best thing in Anthony Costa.
Yeah, mate. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm very well, Anthony. And, you know, I'm delighted you're here, not just because you're in Blue, but because you're a big Spurs fan.
However, yes, I've seen the Spurs top one, good lad.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I had to, you know, show the loyalty. But before we get into that, Anthony, I was just curious to know, what's your favourite Blue song?
Probably One Love, innit? I don't know, because everyone needs a bit of One Love at the moment with what's going on in the world. So I think it's quite ironic that it's just a crazy time at the moment and people just need to just chill and just ride the wave. Do you know what I mean? It's this crazy wave that we're riding at the moment. So, yeah, if they could just listen to a bit of One Love, I'd be happy with that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we'll all be listening to One Love. Billy, what is your favourite Blue song?
My favourite Blue song is Sorry Seems to Be the Hardest Word. You know, it's a modern take on Elton John's original banger back in the 70s. And, you know, it's got the legend himself on the remake. I was actually looking earlier. The remake in 2002, yes, it really was 2002. It's actually got 60 million more views on YouTube than Elton's original. So I'm not the only person that loves that song.
Yeah, a lot of people thought it was our song and not Elton's. They thought we wrote it and Elton jumped on board with us. So I'm happy with that.
I love when that happens. All my mates in the States, because I'm living in Los Angeles, they think that the Jonas Brothers wrote that song Year 3000, which I have to remind them all the time is a busted original.
You're absolutely right.
John, what about you?
Oh, mate, my favourite song, Anthony, of yours has to be All Rise, okay? What a banger. Honestly, you won't believe it yet. The amount of pre-drinks at university that have genuinely been going, seriously, All Rise. And genuinely, everyone actually rises. They get up on their feet, have a dance, have a few drinks. So that's quality, man. I loved it.
Oh, thanks, John. Thanks, mate. Nice one.
No worries.
This is good. I like this.
Yeah. Hey, glad you're enjoying it, Anthony. I actually had just a couple of quick questions for you before we dive into some more football talk.
Yeah, go on.
As Joe had said, you know, welcome to the podcast. We are thrilled to have you. Yeah. How have you been keeping during this crazy time? How are you and your family?
It's all crazy, mate, as you just say. It's the longest I've ever been home without working. You know, I love being home, don't get me wrong, but I love the fact that, you know, I can get up in the morning and go to work, whether it be, you know, at the theatre or in the studio with the lads, you know, or going to see the boys for a meeting and stuff. But it's just mad times, isn't it? And my house is crazy. So you'll probably get me daughters running in a bit, like screaming and shouting. So I do apologise in advance. But yeah, hopefully, as I said, we can ride this wave and, you know, we can get back to normality very, very soon.
Yeah, lovely. No apologies necessary. We'll take all the extra guests we can get.
not with my daughter, mate.
Otherwise, it's funny you mentioned, I mean, obviously, naturally, there are so many things that we're all missing about our old lives. But on the flip side, I've been finding a few silver linings in all of this disruption. For instance, creating this whole podcast with my mates. Is there something new that you have been able to add into your routine?
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of pottering around the house. Like, I've just literally about an hour ago finished painting my garage door.
Lovely.
I've got to paint my fence tomorrow. I've got to mow the lawn and just doing bits and bobs that I never actually would normally get. You know, I'd normally just give a mate of mine a bit of money and go, look, can you just help me out? And he'll, you know, come around and do it for me. But obviously that can't happen at the moment. But yeah, I'm just being a house husband, so to speak.
Yeah, it doesn't sound bad. One more question before we move on. And it's about you and your pantomimes, Anthony. For instance, you played the role of notorious bad guys like Captain Hook in Peter Pan.
Oh, yeah.
And Aben Nasr, if I'm saying that correct, in Aladdin. Do you naturally find yourself being drawn to that type of evil character? And is that why you're a Spurs fan?
Yeah. You know, I like playing any role, man. Any role's a challenge. And I think over the years, I've played, you know, the goodies, so to speak. But I think as you get older, there's new young blood coming through who are better looking, better singers, better this. So I've just got to take a step back to the side and become a baddie. But I don't mind that, man. It's all good. And yeah, it's great. It's fab.
Well, speaking of these younger lads coming through, I was going to say that I played the role of Lumiere in the Beauty and the Beast school play back in year four. So my lines are probably I might have a hard time fitting into that costume, but if you do feel like you're playing the role of the Beast, I was going to say you might not find me. So. You know what time it is. It's time for...
Ooh, yeah!
I'm going to be presenting a sort of obscure Premier League footballer. I'm going to give you one clue to kick things off. And from there, you guys are going to be able to ask me questions and you're going to figure it out between you. So my one clue is that he only played for one Premier League team and he was there for a couple seasons. And for the moment, I'm going to give you just that. Feel free to ask as many questions as you'd like.
Are we talking like early noughties or more recently? Or
he joined the club in 2012 and was there until 2014.
Did you play in London?
No, he actually, this is quite a big clue. I was going to say he didn't even play in England. But like I said, he played for a Premier League club.
What, so he joined from a foreign team? Is that what you're saying?
No, I mean, there are teams who play
Swansea.
In the Premier League.
He played for Swansea then.
Joe's gotten onto that one.
Okay, Swansea players, 2012 to 2014.
I was just reading the Wikipedia for this guy, and you might remember, because this must have made the news, apparently the police had been called to Swansea's training ground after this player allegedly picked up a brick in a furious row with teammate Gary Monk, who of course would go on to manage Swansea.
Right.
Oh, yeah, it's that. Oh, man.
Is he a one-season wonder?
He built up a bit of a, like, sort of reputation for himself. There was something about maybe the way he looked. Or...
Was he a Spanish centre-half?
I think Joe knows who it is.
Jay was a lunatic.
Is his name, Kai, the same as a famous guy who was on the X Factor?
It is indeed, and I may have been sort of swayed into choosing this guy for those reasons. Does anyone else know who it is?
Yeah, sorry. I've got it.
Wagner.
should I just reveal who it is, given that I've...
Yeah, go on then, Joe.
Is it Chico?
It is indeed Chico time.
Chico.
Oh.
He was a bit of an icon at Swansea for a couple seasons. Moving on, I've got one more that I'm going to lay on you guys. He's played for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Premier League teams. Not all of them were in the Premier League at the time, but they've all been established Premier League clubs at one point in time.
Mm. So he's a bit of a journeyman.
He is indeed, although he's only 31. Mm. He's still going.
So was some of these moves loan signings?
Yeah, the majority of them were.
Is he currently playing the Premier League?
No, he's not. He's not currently playing in the Premier League. He's playing in the Championship.
Can you give us any other clues to just steer us in the right direction?
I'll give you a big clue. He plays for the same team that the last guy played for.
Oh, he's at Swansea, okay.
Otherwise, he's quite versatile.
It's not Jordan Ayew?
No, it's not one of the Ayew brothers.
He's at Swansea and he's played for loads of clubs.
Is he a defender?
Is it
Kyle Norton?
John's only gone and guessed it. Yeah, it is.
And I'm not a Spurs fan. I'm a gooner. Isn't he a legend down the lane?
No. He was extremely average, if I remember. I mean,
he was the less successful of the two Kyles.
He was the Kyle that was the main Kyle we bought, and then this young guy called Kyle Walker kind of tagged along with him, but obviously, yeah.
It's like with Michael Dawson and Andy Reid.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Andy Reid was supposed to be the next best thing.
Our next feature is a bit of a tribute to I think it was Anthony's favourite blues song, One Love. We kind of flipped One Love and we called it One Club. So it may well...
Oh, no, not that, man. That was terrible. Bless him, man.
It may well be the case that One Love is all that Anthony and the rest of Blue need. However, for some players, it would appear that One Club is all that they need.
Oh.
It's clearly an impressive feat to stay at one place throughout your career. So we thought we'd pay tribute to a couple of these loyal lads. I'll start by talking about a player who I don't think I'll be able to praise highly enough. And that is, of course, Sir Ledley King. And I mean, I know this is a guy Anthony will have a lot of time for, but this guy is a genuine Spurs legend. I mean, he was the captain of Spurs for most of his time at Tottenham. He actually did a rare thing and won a trophy in his time at Spurs. He won the League Cup with us. And, yeah, he made 323 appearances for Spurs in a 13-year career. The real shame about Ledley King was literally, apparently, on his debut against Liverpool, he picked up his first knee injury. And, of course, knee injuries would kind of be with him throughout his career. Obviously, there's the famous song, "He's Only Got One Knee, He's Better Than John Terry." And that is very true for both of those parts of those songs. But that is, on the one hand, it's incredible how good he was, given he didn't have any cartilage in one of his knees. But yeah, it's also a shame that what could have been had he had two functioning knees. But I just wanted to also just mention a few of his highlights for Spurs. So I've got that last-ditch tackle against Iron Robin at White Hart Lane when we beat Chelsea 2-1. That was a special moment. Going back a bit, he scored after 10 seconds against Bradford in the Premier League. And up until recently, I think that was the fastest goal. Maybe still is, I'm not sure. And then we were speaking about Dawson earlier. He was the perfect centre-back to play alongside his partners. I mean, he made anyone alongside him miles better. And I mean, that Dawson and King partnership is a perfect example of that. I love Michael Dawson, but there's no doubt that the presence of King alongside him made him a way better player than he probably would have been otherwise. But yeah, all things considered, I'd have to say King's my favourite all-time Spurs player. Anthony, how highly did you rate Ledley, and where does he rank among your favourite Spurs players?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely up there. I think as a one-man club man, who knows, if, as you said, if he'd have had two knees, would he have gone on to the Real Madrids of this world, the Barca's and the Man United? So I think it's very hard to say what ifs and ifs. You know, what I saw on the pitch was a leader, something that we lack as a club right now. I feel that legend gets bantered about a bit too quickly, but in a Spurs player's eyes, he's definitely a legend. And as you said, he was the last captain to lift a trophy.
Yeah, which is obviously, given that we've actually had quite a good team the last few years, it's crazy to think that, yeah, Ledley was the last man to get his hands on a trophy, but what a player. And yeah, whilst it's probably true, had he had two functioning knees, yes, he might have gone to Real Madrid or Barcelona. I guess the one consolation is we got him for longer.
Lads, you know, I've supported, I'm 39 this in a couple of weeks. So 38 of 39 of my years, I've supported Spurs. You know, obviously, I was a baby and I was a Spurs fan straight away. So I've seen the Gazzers, I've seen the Ginolas, I've seen the Klinsmans. Do you know what I mean? So growing up, they were my legends as well. Do you know what I'm saying? The Sheringhams of this world. So it's very hard to pick your favourite Spurs player because it all depends on what sort of style of play that you like. You know, I know a few Arsenal fans that, you know, obviously rate Thierry Henry as the greatest legend ever, but then you get someone that likes, say, for instance, David O'Leary. Do you know what I mean? Because this person likes a certain way this person played. So it is so annoying that you can't pick your favourite Spurs player because every player's different. They bring something to the team. Van der Vaart, I mean...
Legend, yeah, absolute legend.
Absolute legend. You know, he and I can't believe he only played like something like 62 games. It was insane. But he really made a stamp and left a great legacy of you know, at Spurs.
You think there's any current Spurs players that are on their way to becoming any Spurs legends?
As I said, John, it's really easy to banter the word legend about. I think if Harry Kane ends up winning something at Spurs and he stays at the club for many a year before he retires, then you can't argue that he has to be known as being a legend. It winds me up when people like score against Arsenal and all of a sudden they're a legend, and it's like, nah, man, you know, you've got to be at a club. Like,
was that 20... a little dig at Danny Rose there?
Well, Danny again, you know, Danny, unfortunately, he's his own worst enemy because left back wise, he was probably one of the best left backs 3 years ago. And now he talks a bit too much. He's like, dude, just play your football, man. Yeah. Let the football do the talking. Yeah, he was. I mean, him and Walker were the best left back and right back in the Prem. I'm not, you know, it's very hard to argue that. But Danny Rose on his debut, unbelievable. I mean, obviously scoring against Arsenal, but then he had to go out on loan to progress, and that's what he did. And I don't know. I just feel sorry for Danny, man. I don't know what it is. He's got so much ability.
That 2016-2017 season when you had him and Kyle Walker bombing it down. You know, the ultimate wing-back pairing. And almost, in some ways, I'd argue that Rose was maybe even the more effective of the two, because that season, up until his knee injury, he was so explosive and so physical as well. Like, you couldn't...
Yeah.
You couldn't, if he had the ball, you weren't going to tackle him. And he would go... No. He was amazing, yeah.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Great. Yeah, man,
let's talk about...
Yeah, I mean, forget all the Arsenal fans and the Sunderland fans. Tottenham is what we want. come on, you Spurs. But aside from Sir Ledley King, we do have another player that we'd like to talk to in terms of a one-man club. And John, I think you've got a bit more information for us on that.
Oh, he's the man. We see him every Saturday, every weekend on Sky. Well, if you have a Sky Sports subscription, I don't know. But it is the man, Matt Letizier, the man, the boy from Guernsey. He only got 8 England caps. Like, he's a proper legend, isn't he? He's a proper Prem legend. Only 8 England caps, no goals either. But what a baller. He's got over 160 goals for Southampton. He's a proper Saints man. He could have gone to Man United and places like that, but he stayed there. Much like Harry Kane's doing right now. Don't you think so, Anthony?
Yeah, I mean, Matt was going to sign for Spurs. I was watching a programme the other week and he was saying he was going to sign for Spurs, but he just didn't want to get homesick. So, fair dude to him, you know.
From Southampton. It's only about 2-hour train from London.
I know. But his family was settled, he said, and it just didn't feel right, which is understandable. But as a player, he was unbelievable. He was unreal, man. His touch was amazing. He could just glide past players, do you know what I mean? And he's still. I mean, I saw that Harry's Heroes the other week. I know he's put on a bit of timber, but you could tell in his head, he's still got it, you know. And I'm so happy that I grew up in the 90s watching football, and you know, Matt Letizier was. I'm a very, very big fan of him for sure.
Matt Letizier always reminds me of that free kick where he flicks it up and just hoofs it in the top corner.
Like, yeah, and the goal against Blackburn, I think it was, against Tim Flowers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just
cornered it. Unbelievable. So skillful. And it's a shame that he never got enough England caps. And because it was again, as we were saying about different styles of play, it's like Hoddle. He never got the recognition in England, being an England player, because there was different types of players. You had Brian Robson and Ray Wilkins, God rest his soul, in that team. So it was that style of play. I think if Matt Letizier had a few more England caps in him, who knows? I mean, you know, he could definitely take a penalty, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Also, you know, in recent interviews, he said he'd always have McDonald's egg and sausage McMuffins before training, which is kind of like, I think that's quite cool, quite rebellious of a footballer. Can you imagine a footballer doing that today?
I know.
They get absolutely slated, but he was just there slopping away pens. German efficiency. Don't mind me.
Yeah, it's like what you do on the pitch, isn't it? It's like, you know, let the football do the talking.
Yeah, I definitely think with Matt Letizier, if I had been a professional footballer, I mean, maybe Dimitar Berbatov trumps him, but I'd want to play in like the style of a Berbatov or a Letizier or a Rafa van der Vaart, maybe, Anthony. But someone who just, they don't necessarily do all the running, but they're there scoring those amazing goals, and they get what it means to play for the club, and they're just
let everyone else do the dog work, and he just, you know, he just finished.
Yeah,
that's the teamwork, man.
And then eat the McMuffins as well. Like, what better?
That's it.
I've been watching obviously a lot of Sky Sports recently on lockdown, and literally his 100. They do like 100 goals special on all these Prem legends, and his always comes up. That's how much spare time I've got. But I literally give it a watch if you haven't. It's absolutely
I've seen it. It's so good, man. It's so good. And the Matt Letizier soccer box with Gary Neville. That's a good one as well.
Yeah, he doesn't score tap-ins, does he?
No, he doesn't, mate. What a player. What a player.
So So last week we heard that the Premier League will return on the 17th of June. That means that when football gets going again, we'll have had around 3 months with no live action. So to fill the time, I, and I'm sure many of you have been doing this too, have been watching reruns of old matches on shows like Premier League Years and some of Match of the Day's top 10 shows as well. Now, whenever I watch those shows, I do feel quite nostalgic. And then I also feel a bit weird when I realise that something that feels like it happened a couple of weeks ago was actually about 10 years ago. So when I watch those programmes like Premier League Years, as a Sunderland fan, it's a bit of an odd experience, as we're one of those clubs that's had so many players and managers come through the doors that it's easy to forget who has actually played for us at one point or another. And then it also kind of got me thinking as well about some of the better players who've been at the club and have since left. Now, as we've got someone from Blue on, they had a song back in the day, If You Come Back. So I thought this was a nice time to sort of ask the question, it might be a bit tricky, but if your club could sign one player from its history again and bring them back, who would it be? For me, now, I don't want any laughter from Joe and Anthony, but for me, the one player that I would bring back to Sunderland would have to be Darren Bent. This goes beyond football because it was a bit of a turning point for everyone involved in the transfer. Largely because for Darren Bent, it signalled pretty much the end of his career. He went to Aston Villa. He never reproduced the form that he did at Sunderland. And then he sort of petered in and out at Burton Albion, Fulham and a couple of other places on loan. But also just, it was quite a symbolic transfer for Sunderland because Christmas that season he left, Sunderland were actually sixth in the league. So when Darren Bent left because he thought things were better elsewhere, it kind of sent shockwaves around the club. It was really the start of a breakup of quite a good Sunderland team. So that's definitely the one player I'd like to see back at Sunderland because it's such a good feeling when you have a centre forward that you know is going to score goals. I know you had Jermaine Defoe. But that was different. It was too much for him. He was 35 and he was very much a one-man team. But I'd love to bring Darren Bent back to Sunderland. So who would you boys like to see back at your club if you could sign one player from your club's history?
I mean, I don't know what Anthony thinks, but I think it's got to be one of Modric or Bale from recent times.
It would be Bale for me.
Yeah, I mean, Bale was obviously, that season, 2012-2013, was just unbelievable.
And unplayable, mate. He was unreal. Unreal.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah. And you know what? I'll say Luka Modric just because at the moment in our midfield, Giovanni Lo Celso is probably my favourite player at Spurs, but Ndombele's had a tricky start. I still think he could come good, but maybe playing slightly further forward. And then Winks, whilst I love him, I'm just unsure of whether he's kind of the long-term answer. So maybe if we stuck Luka Modric in there right now, that would solve a lot.
Could you imagine Luka Modric and Moussa Dembele together?
Oh, stop it. Stop it. That would be...
Do you know, I saw a stat yesterday that we've kept one clean sheet since Dembele's gone.
That doesn't surprise... I mean, that is ridiculous.
Terrible, that, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you kind of forget how... Obviously, everyone realised how important he was. But just, yeah, even from a defensive point of view, you take that guy out of the team. And we fall to pieces. Yeah, it's such a shame that he had all those injuries as well, and that he's playing in China now. Whatever. What a shame.
What about you, lads?
A couple of us, John and I, are Arsenal fans. I do have someone that I would re-sign for the club. And to be fair, as an Arsenal fan, there are a plethora of great players that we've sold down the years. It's also like almost become Arsenal's unofficial motto that if we'd just been able to keep those sorts of players together, we would have won the Premier League again by now. We love to say that. So beyond that, though, I haven't gone for any of the obvious choices by any means. And yet this departure of this player, it resonated with me. For some reason, it really hurt at that time. And whilst it doesn't keep me up at night, it still sort of hurts now. We got this player from a rival for a great price. And then he never got a chance with us before it was too late. He got fed up and eventually he moved on to bigger and better things, to be fair to him. Of course, I'm talking about Lassana Diarra. What do you guys remember about Lassana Diarra? Do you think it's about time that I just let go of this pain? Or am I onto something that Diarra really could have been a special player for
us? Wow, that's interesting you say that. I would never thought you'd have said that, man.
Yeah, I like to be a bit different, but I genuinely think that the right...
I can't remember him touching the ball, mate,
no,
to be honest.
That's the thing. He couldn't get a kick because Matthew Flamini was having the season of his life. And then Flamini would later leave us at the end of the season on a free to go to AC Milan. But the few times Diarra did get on the pitch... And I used to have season tickets, luckily, so I was able to see him play. He was brilliant. And like I said, he went on to Portsmouth and then went on to Real Madrid. So he more than proved his worth and his ability. And given that that kind of hole in Arsenal's midfield, yeah, Patrick Vieira left, has never been filled, he seemed like he could have potentially been quite a big player for us at a time when, likewise, as Billy mentions, Sunderland kind of dismantling itself. Arsenal just every season at that point were just losing players.
Wow.
I'd say Ashley Cole, you know. I know that's unpopular with every Arsenal fan, but Ashley Cole, he was an absolute baller. He was at the top of his game. Not even at the top of his game, man. He was just like smashing it. England's best ever left back. And all his off-pitch troubles and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I think he was symbolic of Arsenal's slow decline. I do agree with Ashley now that there was a loss of winning mentality at Arsenal. It got a bit soft. We're below Spurs, which is weird.
Well, you have been. You have been for a while now. You should be used to it. After.
Yeah, I know. I should be used to it, to be honest.
Yeah.
Whenever I look at the Premier League table, I get a bit of a fright. I've forgotten all the league standings.
Yeah. As you said, John, I mean, Ashley Cole was a marquee signing for Chelsea when they got all that Abramovich money, and he was one of the first kind of big Arsenal players to leave, and he left us for a rival. You know, obviously, people forget that we got William Gallas in return, although you Spurs fans might not forget that, because Gallas would go on to be another traitor and go to you guys.
Was he even good at Spurs?
Whether or not he was good, I can remember him playing against, he would play well against Arsenal for Spurs, I can tell you that. He would get fired up for the London Derby.
He was good for the first season and then very quickly became shit.
As an ode to blue, Anthony, as if there haven't already been enough of those, the Blazers for Goalpost team felt inspired to put together our own boy band. The musical talent of the artists, whose names you're about to hear, is undoubtedly questionable, to say the very least. Nevertheless, as Louis Walsh might say, these lads have real star quality. It's my pleasure to introduce to you, for the first time, my Premier League boy band. They're called 1D, which may sound familiar, but these guys are ballers, and this is One Deflection. Jack Grealish is your classically suave lead man. The arrogance is there. He's not everyone's cup of tea, but he knows how to have a good time. Flanking Grealish is the group's heartthrob, and that's Todd Cantwell. The boy next door from Norwich gets the lady screaming with his blonde locks and his cheeky grin. Then there's Phil Foden. If you're looking for the group's white rapper, look no further. You found Foden. And lastly, it's that awkward member of the group. He might just be the most naturally gifted artist amongst them, but until he gets a makeover, we're all just thinking the same thing, which is, who is that guy? Well, that guy is Matteo Guendouzi, ladies and gentlemen. John, what do you have for us?
Oh, mate. My boy band is going to be the best boy band in the world. They're going to have... Two of them have already performed at the Emirates, doing the Millie Rock, and that is Jesse Lingard and Paul Pogba. And then, obviously, you need a kind of edgy guy, don't you? You need a bit of, like, a smouldering guy in the background looking all arty. So I've gone for the vegan, Hector Bellerin, very on brand. And then I've just thrown in Mason Mount, just because, why not? So that's my boy band. And my boy band is called Final Score. So let's hope the BBC aren't listening to this.
Well, my team is chosen purely on hairstyles, because whenever I think about some of the classic boy bands, I'm always thinking about some of their hairstyles and how at the time they were fashionable. But looking back through hindsight, sometimes you can think, did we really like hair like that back then? Anyway, so I've gone for, I'm branching three separate generations here. Liam Lawrence, the former Sunderland and Stoke City player. He had the bleach blonde highlights long after it stopped being fashionable. Then I've got Mason Mount as well, John. So sorry about that. Didn't know you were going to have him, but he's got a fantastic quiff. And after the barber's been shut for 3 months, I reckon his quiff is looking pretty out of control right now. And then for fans of 70s and 80s music, I've got Marouane Fellaini with his afro in there. So we're really going to have a wide range of people listening to our tunes. They'd be called the Spice Girls, and Alan Pardew would be the choreographer.
Very nice. Well, for me, I've always found that boy bands are a bit like Marmite in that, you know, you either love them or you hate them. I mean, for every blue, there's a one true voice, if you know what I mean. But my boy band is inspired by some new technology in the Premier League this season, which has certainly divided opinion, and that is, of course, VAR. So my boy band is called Stockley Park, and it's comprised of three Premier League footballers, being Matej Vidra, Max Ahrens, and Antonio Rudiger. And of course, their surnames spell VAR. And I'm thinking for their first single, it might just have to be Check Me Baby One More Time. So, Anthony, you've heard all of our boy bands now. And what we just love to know is, out of those four boy bands, who has won the best boy band award? What could you see working? Who could we, you know?
I'm gonna have to go with John's one, man.
I love you, Anthony, bro.
I'm surprised you put Freddie Lundberg in there.
That's what I was thinking, but you got too old, Anthony.
Ronaldo, man, he's got abs to die for, bro.
Oh yeah, that's true. I did think of Beck as well, but they're all. I kind of want to keep it like a boy band, not a man. I don't want like to take that vibe, you know.
Yeah, man bands.
I've got nothing against take that. But
no, it's all good, boys. It's all good.
I want everyone Millie rocking, you know.
Yeah, I suppose. I'd have had I don't know.
Yeah, who's your Premier League boy band, actually?
It is hard, man, trust me.
I'd go he's ex Spurs and ex Charlton, Johnny Jackson.
Oh, Johnny Jackson, that is a
Jackson. He can sing, mate. He can sing.
Really?
Yeah, he's wicked. Leighton Baines can sing as well. You need singers, don't you? Jackson, Leighton Baines. Who else can sing? I'll see it the other week. Oh, man. I'd go for Toby Alderweireld because he's just Toby.
You got to put him in there, haven't you?
And
can Joey Barton sing? Or am I chatting? Is that rubbish?
No,
he,
I think
he can do other things, but not sing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Johnny Jackson can sing. Johnny Jackson. Ryan Mason. He can play the piano.
Really?
Ryan Mason's amazing. Yeah. Johnny Jackson, though. Johnny Jackson's wicked.
Yeah, with a name like Jackson, you got to be a good singer, maybe.
Yeah, man. Yeah, he's a good lad. Baines, he's a good lad as well.
Baines, I want to say he kind of rocks that almost like...
he's
like
a bit more
Gallagher.
Yeah, like, yeah. I think you're absolutely.
Have you ever been on a night out with a few footballers or met any of them?
Yeah,
you got some good stories, yeah? Go on, spill it. Come on, mate.
Me and Keno.
Oh, wow.
Me and Robbie Keane.
Nice.
We was out one night in North London, and we was in the same pub, and he was a Blue fan as well back in the day. And we just got up and started singing karaoke. It was just the funniest nightmare.
Yeah, I saw Robbie Keane in Los Angeles when he was playing for the Galaxy. He's a nice guy.
He's a nice geezer, mate. Yeah. He's just a legend. Woodgate as well, lovely bloke. Yeah, where I used to knock about in Essex and that back in the day, there was loads of them, loads of footballers. To see them out.
Chigwell, was that sort of Chigwell, Brentwood, that part?
Yeah, like Ilford, a place called Faces.
Didn't Teddy share a lot of stories about Teddy Sheringham and Faces, you know?
Yeah, Sean Davis, remember Sean Davis?
Yeah,
I had a few nights out with him. Yeah, good lad, Sean. Yeah, this is years ago. I'm going back like 17, 18 years.
On the other hand, are there any people that are better known for their singing skills but are actually quite handy on the football pitch?
Yeah, so Ollie Merz is a good player.
Serge from Kasabian's quite good in those
charities. He's decent. He's decent. Harvey can play.
Harvey, he's played in a couple of those charity games.
Harvey's brilliant, mate. Harvey's superb. Harvey could have been a player. Could have been professional. Yeah.
What karaoke did you sing with Robbie Keane?
Or he wanted to sing Mustang Sally.
We do actually have a question for you, Anthony, from a fan of the show. Sure.
Hi, Anthony. I wanted to ask, would you rather that Spurs had become champions of Europe last year or that Blue had become champions of Europe in 2011? When you represented the UK at the Eurovision Song Contest, especially given that we haven't done better since then.
I'm going to say Spurs champions of Europe, mate.
I'm relieved.
To be fair, it's like a comet, isn't it? It will never come again. Do you know what I mean? It will come every 185,000 years. So yeah. Me and the boys can always have, you know, if we ever get back together, we can release a hit and hopefully it'll do well, but Spurs being champions of Europe, it will never happen again. So, yeah.
Well, good to know. And, yeah, maybe one day.
You guys sound so depressed about it.
I'm over it, mate. I'm over it, John. Over it, mate. It was just, we weren't good enough. We weren't good enough.
You're a bit harsh on yourself because you got an unfair, a kind of unfair pen at the start, wasn't it?
Yeah, I know, but it's just one of them things. Like, it's all well and good going 1-0 down, which is fine, but we never even tested the keeper.
Yeah,
we never even played well, and I think Potch got it wrong. Potch should have gone that night, man. He stayed too long, I think.
He shouldn't have played Kane, was my thing. I think Kane should have been on the bench. Yeah, interestingly though, the day after the final, I was working where I used to be at the time, and I was working at this hotel which was next to the Bernabeu. And Pochettino tipped up the next day. I had a picture of him, which was quite a weird time to meet him because he was obviously devastated. But I still wonder if he was having a cheeky little meeting with Real Madrid the day after that. Because I'll never know. But yeah, who knows?
You never know, mate. You'll never know.
Yeah, never know.
You might rock up at Man United, to be fair.
Or Newcastle.
Good luck to him, mate. Listen, you know, he was a great servant as a manager, but Tottenham Hotspur will always be around. Managers will come and go. That's how, you know, you just got to wipe yourself down and dust yourself down and just go on with it. You know, I can't be
arsed. You're a Mourinho man, yeah?
Yeah, completely. Yeah.
That just about does it for today's podcast. As ever, it was a pleasure being joined by my co-host Joe and our good friends Billy and John. I want to say a huge thank you to our guest, Anthony Costa, for joining us. Anthony, we really have loved having you on the pod. And honestly, it really means a lot to us that you take this time out to be on our show.
It's all right, mate. Thank you so much. Talk about football. I could do it all day. So,
Anthony, cheers again. Until next time, everybody. From the Blazers for Goalposts, look out for us on Twitter at BlazersFGPod, Instagram and Facebook at Blazers for Goalposts. You can listen to us on Spotify, iTunes, Podbean, and soon we're going to be on Google Podcasts. That's about does it for today. Goodbye, everyone.